Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first formal edition of Frozen Tundra Frequencies. That's going to take a minute to get used to. This is Draft Talk Reimagined, Draft Talk 2.0. I am your host, Evan Tex Western. With me today, we have Tyler Brook, a veteran of many Draft Talk podcasts. And Tyler, what's up? What's up? Say what's up to the people as this Wednesday night begins.
Wow. Say what's up to the people. Wow. What's up, people? Hope you found us because it's been a little bit of a hiatus. But glad to be back. Glad to talk draft.
And, of course, we have a special guest here with us, Justice Mosqueda, my friend. Good to hear you. Back from the dead. I'm gonna play how you sounded here.
Hey fellas, guess who got sick again? This is my real voice right now. Happy draft week.
And how do you sound now?
I sound a lot better, I think, in my personal opinion. I woke up that day and was just like walking around the house like every hour or two, just saying like testing to just try to, you know, get the barometer on my voice. I felt bad for Addy. Am in the new apartment though. Everything is still boxed up like crazy if you guys want to look behind me. But yeah, we're posted up for the draft. I'm excited. I'm ready. I made a bunch of phone calls while I was on my deathbed yesterday. So hopefully I have some half decent information.
So wait, did you talk to these people? I saw you wrote something and you said I made a few calls. Did you talk to them with the voice?
Yeah, I made them feel bad for me.
Amazing. This is great. This is great. Well, let's dive into it. Before we get to the dirt, I want to touch on the top 30 visits that the Packers had. We know, 28, I think, out of 30 names we get reported at this point. And you broke it down pretty clearly. This Goody's got some pretty clear systems with how he chooses to invite these guys. So give us the rundown on that.
Yeah, he talked about it on Monday, and he was basically like, we bring guys in to like answer a question, basically. And I think that kind of tracks with the guys that they brought in. Injury question marks, right? The guys who are obvious are Amarius Mims. He played 8 games of college football, right? Everyone knows he had that tightrope surgery with a high ankle sprain that, you know, caused him playing time for Georgia this past year. He's the right tackle for Georgia. Kool-Aid McKinstry, who has the Jones fracture in his foot, which teams, depending on how you grade him medically, are very concerned to not concerned at all. That's always kind of one of those weird things that I don't really understand, is how NFL teams can have vastly different medical grades on the same type of injury. I mean, they're getting the same type of scans, all that stuff. Kool-Aid McKinstry and Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois, both have that issue. It's basically like it's like a stress fracture at like the base of what stabilizes your pinky toe. And the major concern there is that that's an issue that typically like re-injures itself, right? At some point. So that's something worth looking out for. The Yale offensive tackle, I don't know how to say his last name, Kieran, you know, obviously had the knee injury that ended the season a little bit early. Wasn't able to participate in, you know, the Senior Bowl or anything. And then guard Zach Zinter from Michigan, who ended up breaking his leg against Ohio State, right? Like, those are pretty clearly, you could bucket those and say those are the injury guys that they brought in, right? The next guys are, some sort of combination of like mental aptitude versus like trying to figure out how they tick so that you can kind of get them to hit the ground running at the next level. And from my sources that have told me, it's Tyler Guyton is one of those guys, the tackle from Oklahoma, who's a very popular pick to the Packers. Michael Hall, the defensive lineman for Ohio State. They also brought in the Ohio State kid because they didn't go to his pro day. If you guys don't remember, Ohio State didn't have very many top prospects at their pro day, and it overlapped with a bunch of other pro days. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't end up running, so they were like, why the heck are we even going? Let's just bring in Hall on a visit. And then the last guy in this bucket is Mason Smith from LSU. And then there's kind of like the off-field questions, right? The big one that I don't think has caught steam yet is Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M. His girlfriend died in, well, then girlfriend died in an ATV accident during the season. At the time, it wasn't clear that Cooper was present, and then it became clear that he was present, and now NFL teams are having a lot of conversations about, like, what the heck happened? Why did you act that way? Type of situation. No one thinks that he's at fault for this, right? It seems like some sort of combination between a manufacturing error plus some sort of fault for the mechanic who had previously worked on the ATV. But teams want to get a firm answer on, like, what guy are we getting into where, like, this stuff wasn't crystal clear from the beginning, right? And then some less serious character guys, Austin Booker and Alabama wide receiver Jermaine Burton. Those are both guys that, like, Bob McGinn had written about as, you know, quote-unquote scout's nightmare type of guys. Burton is a guy who wore on both Georgia and Alabama's locker rooms. From the West Coast, he's born and raised Calabasas, if that helps kind of piece any of that together. And then Booker is a kid who I believe he transferred up, and it didn't seem like he got along with the coaching staff too much. So the Packers didn't bring in for like the top 100 visits. We just pretty much covered all of them, right? Like there's basically no top 100 guys who don't have some sort of flag, some sort of question that the Packers wanted answered. I think the only guys are like Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver from South Carolina, who, I mean, maybe they want to talk to him about his production and stuff like that. He kind of just, you know, blew up this past year after pretty much doing nothing the previous three seasons. And then the Western Michigan pass rusher, Marshawn Nealon, who I just watched today. I thought he was actually pretty decent. But there's more guys in this class who have some sort of question than people realize. Like, some people wonder about Malik Nabers. Troy Fatanu from Washington has some injury question marks. If you look at the consensus draft board, it's actually pretty goofy for how the Packers' outlook is. Because the Packers pick at 25, right? On the consensus draft board, this is 18 through 26. Brian Thomas Jr., who, one, he lined up outside exclusively as like a speed wide receiver, kind of like an MVS type of guy, right? He's got some medical question marks. 19, Cooper DeJean, cornerback Iowa. We know he's got medical question marks, right? We just saw he wasn't able to participate fully in the pre-draft process. CJ Latham is pretty clean. Troy Fatanu, we just touched on him. Amarius Mims, we touched on him. Nate Wiggins ran a crazy number at like 170 pounds and then immediately got himself injured at the combine, right? Jerzon Newton, we talked about his foot issue with the Jones fracture. Graham Barton is pretty clean. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry has a Jones fracture. So you're talking about 18 through 26 on the consensus draft board. Two of those guys have a clean billing of health. That's where the Packers are sitting today. And that's why I think this stuff becomes really interesting, because I don't think all those guys are going to be on the Packers board, right? So it's not a sit back at 25 and just hope one drops to you. I kind of think the Packers need to move around either one way or the other with how they're picking right now, unless they're confident and just like saying like, hey, screw it. If everything goes to hell, we'll just take like Tyler Guyton, right?
Please, no.
You've triggered Tyler with that one.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Oh, I'm going to trigger myself if that happens on draft day. I'm going to be like, we took a guy, like, we basically take a Rasheed Walker at that point. Like, that's who I think Guyton is. He's a guy he's a year away. And,
yeah,
you know, I guess you save 2 years on a contract if you're going to do the Rasheed Walker thing. But, like, I don't know. There's better ways to spend a first round pick to me.
Yep. There's one thing I want to touch back on. And you kind of mentioned the questions about guys who they're like trying to figure out how they learn and how they think. Goody talked about that at the combine this year, that's one of the reasons, one of the ways that they'll bring guys in for these visits is to try to, you know, figure out how they tick and not so much like necessarily take a guy off their board because of right. any sort of issue like that, but really just try to understand, can they, you know, how they can teach these guys. So I thought that was an interesting comment from him, and it kind of tails in nicely with a couple of those visits that you mentioned.
Yeah, and I don't mean to demean position groups when I say this, but we're not talking about quarterbacks, right? Like of those guys who are probably brought in to kind of figure out how they tick, at least based off of the sources that I talked to over the past couple of days, right? It's It's Guyton, it's Michael Hall, and it's Mason Smith. Mason Smith and Michael Hall are defensive linemen. That is probably the least cerebral position in football, just in terms of like how difficult the playbook is to pick up, right? So it's an interesting situation. Those players are also very different. Like Michael Hall is like a pass rushing three technique. Mason Smith is like supposed to be a nose tackle, I guess, but like he's still kind of coasting off of what he did as a freshman. It's very weird situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler, any thoughts there on the visits? Or I think it's clear that, you know, we shouldn't be reading too much into whether a guy is or isn't brought in. I know people are talking about the Cooper DeJean stuff, the fact that they didn't bring him in for a medical.
Well, he had a super late pro day too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Packers just got a look at him recently. So
only big takeaway from the visits that like stood out to me was just the recent report about Leggett. The only thing that could potentially tell me is that, hey, maybe they're not fully sold on Christian Watson as the long-term guy. Is the hamstring fully healthy? Has he lost a tick in play speed? Because if that is the case, it would make sense to bring in Leggett. Like, that is the ultimate height, weight, speed guy, probably day two. Like, let's say you're doing your homework on him in case he's there at 41 or he's a couple spots earlier.
I was going to say, early day two is probably where you're going to have to take him.
I mean, they could trade up. I mean, I've said before my hottest take in this draft, I think the Packers are trading up at some point. Like, 11 picks is a lot of picks. And I do think they have the capital. They want to take a swing. Okay, go ahead.
Good said. He was I might want like 13, 14 by the time this whole thing is done.
I'm convinced he's lying.
I can't imagine 13, 14 roster spots at this point. Like,
I think if they pick 11, they have 7 undrafted free agents that they're allowed to sign. So,
yeah,
we're pushing it at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some of that dirt that that you've been digging up when your voice has been shot. I know there's plenty of rumblings about the Vikings and what they're doing. What do we got? What are you hearing right now?
Yeah, I think Drake May's going to be a Viking, and I'm pretty hurt about that. I think I would be pretty surprised at this point if it didn't go Caleb Jane Daniels. And then I would guess McCarthy and then May. Arizona holds a lot of power right now. They're a weird team. Last year, if you remember, they were the team that traded with the Houston Texans, right? So that Houston could pick 2 and 3. Arizona doesn't want to make any decisions until they're on the clock, which is making a lot of teams nervous because they're picking 4 in a draft with 4 quarterbacks. It seems like they want to be able to maneuver the situation in a way where they can trade out of 4, but then trade back up and still get Marvin Harrison Jr. We'll see if that works out. I don't know if you can. Yeah, I don't know.
This isn't how this works.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck they're going to do with that situation. I think if the Chargers stick at 5, there's a lot of steam right now building about J.C. Latham going that high, which would be kind of surprising to me. I mean, he's a guy that Tyler and I were talking about this entire draft season. We're like, why isn't he talked about in the same tier as Alt and Fashanu and stuff? And, you know, he's better than Fuaga and Fatanu. Like, he's a different tier than those guys. And now it seems like, you know, that is being reaffirmed by the NFL scouts when it wasn't reaffirmed by media scouts for 3 months or however long we've been doing this.
How vindicated do you feel off that, by the way? Just as soon as I heard 5, I was like, I mean, maybe not my OT1, but like he should be in this top 10 conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad I still got it. That's all I got to say about that. I'm glad I still got it. Cause yeah, I mean, he's a really good player. Apparently the Packers like him. I don't know if he's going to go 5, there's no way even in a trade up they'd be able to grab a guy like that.
I don't know. I mean, Bill Simmons says that if they trade all of the top 100 picks in Jaden Reed, they could get up to 6 for Malik Nabers or something. So,
yeah, I'm good. I'm good on that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Halfley did offer Nabers at Boston College, by the way.
So I'm gonna get into that a little bit later, but there's a lot of Halfley connections in this draft class.
Yeah.
and I'll be very surprised if the Packers don't end up with one of these guys.
I think Byron Murphy's going to go earlier than people think.
Yeah.
Woo! I've heard Atlanta and Chicago at 8 and 9 are both teams that are potentially in play for him. Mm. Every place that I've heard Brock Bowers rumored to makes no sense. It's like a team that desperately needs to get better at 10 different positions, and they're like going to take a off-ball tight end. We already touched on Fatanu's injury. I think that's going to cause a little bit of a slip on draft day. Jerzon Newton, again, because of the foot, I'm not sure if he's going to go in the first round. Kool-Aid is a guy who I think as early as like 17 to the Jaguars is in play, which obviously, haha, everyone make their jokes. Balky is taking an injured player, right? But I think he legitimately can go between Jacksonville and Philadelphia, who I think is picking like 22nd. I think the teams that are in the corner market and have Kool-Aid cleared like Kool-Aid more than Cooper DeJean, which is why DeJean may hang around till like 25. But I think there's also a lot of teams that have just ruled off Kool-Aid off their board entirely because of the foot.
Interesting.
And the AD Mitchell stuff is real. That Bob McGinn wrote about, and I know everyone made the jokes of like, we kind of like not solve diabetes, but like, you know, just make sure he eats, right? Like it's a lot simpler said than done, it seems like, with that situation. So AD Mitchell is another guy who has a couple of question marks around him right now.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, from the attitude I see on the field, I think it would be the funniest thing in the world to see A.D. Mitchell and George Pickens on the same football team. I would just love to see how that would play out.
Amazing. Good stuff. One of the things that I thought was interesting is I've been following a little bit of the DraftKings odds for various different things as we go along. I'll get to that a little bit more in a minute, but one of the ones I thought was interesting was who goes first, Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell? And I think A.D. Mitchell was actually negative odds on that one, which wow. Surprised me.
I think Worthy's the fourth receiver off the board. I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't, unless it was like Rams trade back, grab McConkey, or you know Niners grab him. Like,
yep,
one of those.
Yeah, that was my thought too. The fact that they were given plus odds to Worthy being going before A.D. Mitchell head-to-head was a surprise to me. But speaking of trades up, I know Tyler's been beating the drum now this week. You did it in your mock. Where do we feel like a good spot is? And I think you looked at 16, and one of the questions I keep getting from everybody is, if they trade up, who are they going after? And the easy question is offensive line, I think, or the easy answer. But, I mean, how likely do we really think this is that they get that aggressive in round one?
I mean, they are pretty historic about not staying put at whatever their pick is, at least under Gutekunst. Like, they do like to move around, and that's not necessarily up. They'll go back up. They'll do whatever. I just think when I look at the board, as soon as you hit, like, the Rams, what are they picking, 18, 19, something like that? I feel like there's going to be a run on offensive line. Just there's a lot of teams that very clearly need it. I think Pittsburgh's one of those, Miami, Dallas, like all these teams could definitely take offensive linemen. And it sounds like according to Daniel Jeremiah, like every team is trying to trade up for a tackle right now. I think people are just trying to get to that point.
Cause I am bearing the cross on Packers Twitter right now of saying, hey, let's just draft a tackle in the first round. No one else wants to do it. They don't want to move Tom for anything. They're really, really concerned about Tom's agent situation and what he may ask for if he's moved to center. Like, he's going to get a record-setting contract at center if he moves to center, guys. Don't worry about it. But when you look at the tackle market, this offensive line class is good. But it's good because of the interior guys. Like, I watched Pony, the kid out of, like, Kansas and stuff like that. Those guys are clear guards. Yeah. Like, Cooper Beebe, he's going to play guard. He's not going to play tackle. So, if you want a tackle, I kind of think it's the same as last year. Remember where there was that tackle run? Was it right before the Packers drafted? When was, like, Broderick Jones taken by, like, the Steelers or whatever?
And that would have been right before, I think.
I think it might have been where that happened and then – teams start like panic trading, right? And you
it
get,
was
like Jacksonville taking that guy in the first round, and you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I'm trying to look back, and yeah, so Darnell Wright went to the Bears at 10, then Skoronski to the Titans at 11, Van Ness at 13 to the Green Bay, Broderick Jones 14, so yeah, like right after the Packers went, they started
Yes, to fly. And then the Jets got hosed, yes, and then the Jets got hosed because they were like, we need a tackle, but all of these tackles went right before us. Yep. Now we're stuck with Will McDonald. Also, that kind of counts as a trade-up, right? Packers last year, where they were at 15, and they were like, we need to move to 13.
We were beating that drum the entire time the Rodgers thing was going on. And by the way, I think as we record this, today, Wednesday, is the one-year anniversary of the Rodgers trade from last year.
You mean the greatest day in franchise history?
You said it, not me.
I'll never forget just coming out of practice and finding out that news and the trade package on Twitter Spaces and just clearly overreacting.
That was amazing. That I wonder if we have that one archived somewhere. That'd be a good one to listen back to.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with Tyler. I think that's when the tier kind of starts to fall off, is around that like 18 range.
Yeah.
I still think there's going to be talent on the board. I don't think you need to move up that far, but I do think that, like, if you want a shot at a, you know, Fatanu, Mims, Barton, DeJean tier, right, I think you do have to move up a little bit to feel comfortable that at least one of them is going to be on the board, right?
And yeah.
That's if they're all, you know, medically cleared, right? Like, all those guys other than Barton have some sort of flag, so.
Yeah.
Be fun to see. We'll know in about 24 hours and change as we record this tonight. So
I can't believe one more sleep. This month has been exhausting.
Oh my gosh. All right, well, let's move on. I want to do a segment here. I'd like to there's been a lot of like Packers draft boards and everybody kind of staking their claim on who the Packers are going to take. So I've got a couple of, I got a mid round guy and a day three guy that I'm willing to kind of put down, but I'd love to get like your two or three guys who you are most confident will be a Packer, by the end of the day, Saturday. And, Tyler, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll go with a guy that Justice is very late to the party on, but I'm very glad he's on board. Marshawn Nyland, the Western Michigan edge, just kind of flies off the snap. His bull rush is outstanding. Justice, real quick, did you notice just how often he plays off the line, just kind of roaming? Like the
Zadarius? They used him like Zadarius, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's what an NFL team is going to want out of him. They're going to want to make him into some sort of interior rusher. He was up to like 270 during the season. He dropped a bunch of weight in the offseason so that he could run. I think he did it because he knew that he wasn't going to have a great 40 time. He had really good agilities, and I think that translates onto the field. He's able to, you know, bend and all that stuff. He just doesn't have the closing speed. If I get Nyland, like, look, just keep eating, dude. Like, maybe we can make you into a D-tackle at some point. Like, I think he's going to be interior rusher. He's going to be a guy who can chase the backside of run plays, you know.
Awesome in backside pursuit. Like, he just base kills tackles, people.
Base blocks, like, he's going to be able to, like, stack you. He's a pretty stout guy. He can pretty much do everything other than kind of, like, finish the pass rush because he just doesn't have that long speed.
Yeah. I'm really struggling with my second guy. I was close to saying Leggett, but I feel like we already talked about him just for the hot take. I'm looking at my board right now. I got all kinds of names I can say. Let's go Kingsley out of BYU.
Yeah.
Like, let's say they don't trade up, and let's say they stick at 25, and then, like, worst-case scenario, all the guys they want are there. They don't like Guyton, and they either trade back or just pick at 25 and take is it Suamataya, something like that, out of BYU. Just – it's kind of like the Chris Olave draft when we just kept calling him smooth. That's just kept the word I kept coming to when I watched Kingsley, like just a very smooth tackle prospect.
I think a lot of people are catching on him too. Yep. I was seeing tweet out his like spring game clips from when he was a freshman at Oregon and stuff like that.
Let's go Ducks.
Doesn't hurt that his cousin just got paid a kajillion dollars today too.
That's right. He's Penei Sewell's cousin. Yeah.
My guys, I'm going to go Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. Was a guy who was committed to Halfley's program for a while before he ended up playing in the SEC. The more I talk to guys who are looking at him, they're like, yeah, he's a little rough around the edges, but we think we can develop him into something. Obviously, Green Bay is one of the teams that leans the most into draft and development. I don't love him being able to contribute this year outside of like special teams. But hopefully that pick ends up panning out if they do pull the trigger on him. He also was a guy that they brought in on a visit and went to his pro day. And then the other guy is a similar situation, Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa, non-combine guy. They went to his pro day. They also brought him in on a visit almost immediately after. Seems like they're pretty interested in him. I think he's probably going to go like fourth, fifth round, but he's better than that. I really like him. He's a true nose tackle too, by the way, which is going to be a pretty big deal when, Halfley's saying in pressers, like, we're going to teach our defensive line to like pin their ears back and get their ass up and, just get off the ball and rush into the backfield, create penetration. What are you going to do with TJ Slayton's $3 million contract then? Cause that doesn't really, fit along with what the rest of you are doing. So Boyd kind of makes sense as like a scheme fit, especially at a position of need. Nose tackle's not real deep for Green Bay at this point.
Nice. Yeah. You got one of the guys that I had my eye on was Wallace, the Kentucky linebacker. So, I mean, the connections there, the Halfley offer that he got, at BC before going to Kentucky, as I recall, I think he committed and then decommitted from BC and then went to Kentucky. Yeah. Right. So there's a connection there.
Like BC probably deals with a whole lot of that. It's like, yeah, I'm coming. Sorry. The SEC called, my bad.
Yeah. One other name that I'll throw out there in that kind of mid round range. I mean, somebody mentioned him earlier, Dominic Pooney, he'll be a guard from Kansas. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause, with them maybe taking him top 100 is he's 24 already. I think he just turned 24. So he's a little on the older side, but again, tackle guard versatility probably is a guard at the NFL level. Certainly that's mid rounds is a good spot for a depth guy there. And then the other name I want to put out there is Ryan Watts. He played corner at Texas. Ooh. He started his career at Ohio State playing for guess who? Jeff Halfley in 2019. I think he could be a safety transition. He put up a really, really good workout at about 6'2", 205, I think. I think he might be a move him to safety type, and he's a little stiff, he's a little long, but I think that could work there. And again, you've got a Halfley connection, and he's I'm thinking him probably like a sixth round guy, not going to be going to be a top 150 guy, but probably late day three. I think he makes a lot of sense. He kind of he's in that like Anthony Johnson Jr. bucket for me. Take a flyer on a late round safety, and the testing all kind of fits, and there's a connection there. So he's the guy I'll plant my flag on late on day three. But odds things that I found interesting. I want to touch on a couple of these things. Yesterday, so DraftKings has a whole bunch of over-unders for where certain players are going to be drafted, mostly first round guys. Troy Fotanu, Washington tackle, his over-under has been sitting about 15 and a half for the last week or so. But yesterday, it was minus 110 odds, and today it is down to minus 180 for the over. So the odds makers are seeing a little bit of a fall, or at least maybe a little slide, and maybe that medical stuff is starting to catch on. But that one I thought was real interesting. I mean, you figure he certainly probably is what, tackle 4 or 5 in the class for you guys, something like that. I'm trying to remember where you guys had him ranked in on your list before, but certainly behind guys like Alt and Fashanu.
I think the conversation is like him, Fuaga, Barton, Mims, right? Like I think that's a conversation with the offensive line guys. 15 is pretty high, I think. Yeah, I think he's going to go lower than that. Again, I still don't know if he's going to make it all the way to 25, though. So.
Yep. Another one I thought interesting, not really Packers related, but just looking around at quarterback numbers, both Bo Nix and Michael Penix have their over-unders at 32.5. Now the odds are skewed pretty far for Penix and the under, assuming he's going to go in the first round, but do you guys think that we get six quarterbacks in the first round?
No, I think we might get five. I think I could see one of Nix or Penix, and I would probably skew Penix. Sorry, not Skodux this time, Justice. But I think at that point, there's really not that many quarterback seats like available after these like top three guys go. I just can't see. Maybe it's like the Raiders trade back, or they just stand pat and just wait until the second round. It's weird, but I feel like we're starting to see that they realize the flaws in there. They realize there's not going to be a lot of QB hungry teams trying to hunt those two guys. So I could see, especially given their age, that they wait until the second round.
I saw a thing where it was like Penix could go 8 to Atlanta. Like, you just gave Kirk all that money. What are we talking about? I think if it's Penix that early, it probably is going to be the Raiders. And then if it's Nix, I think it's going to be the Broncos. I saw Mike Florio tweeted it out so I could talk about it and not feel like I'm burning a source or anything like that. But I talked to guys at Oregon about Nix, and they were like, they literally brought in like the entire offensive staff, the Broncos did, to like meet with us and Nix and stuff like that the day after the pro day. So I think there's real interest there. How much that interest is, I don't know. Like, aren't the Broncos picking like 12th? Like, they're, dude, you cannot in good conscience spend the 12th pick on Bo Nix. Come on now.
So here's what's interesting to me about the Broncos. They don't have a second rounder because they sent it to Seattle, right? Or to New Orleans for Peyton. Yeah. So I could see that maybe that's a they look to trade back. Maybe they get Nix later in
that was, later on that was first another, round or something. Brock Bowers team was the Broncos. Where I'm like, what? The last fucking thing you need is an off ball tight end. Like, get your house in order. I do think, from my understanding, Sean Payton took that job because Walmart money just backed a Brinks truck up to him, right? And we're like, hey, $20 million a year. And he was like, all right, I'm just going to coast and be done with it. And now he thinks that the team is closer than they actually are, and now he wants to be a win now, which seems unfortunate because I think the Broncos are a year away from starting from ground zero, and they might just like end up digging themselves into a bigger hole. I think they're one of the teams that could be in the J.J. McCarthy race. I don't think they have enough ammo to outspend the Vikings unless, you know, they're going to give up like Patrick Surtain or something like that in a trade, which would be very dumb. Don't do that. Denver, please, don't do it. Also, your uniforms are garbage. You guys seen those things?
Yeah.
UTEP uniforms, man. Get out of here.
All right, and then want to touch on a couple of the guys that are in that Packers range as far as the over-unders go. Graham Barton, 21.5. Cooper DeJean and Mims, both 22.5. So that, I think, kind of speaks to that teardrop, right, that you guys are talking about in those early 20s. You want to get your choice of guys in that tier. You're probably going to have to get to 20, 19, 18, something like that to get to that spot.
I think of those guys – I think the guy I'm more confident about going earlier is Mims. I know people have some concerns about like injury history and experience, but like how many giant tackles that can move like that are there just in the world besides just this draft class?
Also, the injuries are already baked into his draft stock.
Right? Yeah.
Like, that's why he's going, you know, 23 or whatever, right? It's he'd be a top 10 pick easily, if not for those questions.
Exactly.
So on the Mims question, then the big thing, right, is will the Packers ever take a giant tackle like that? So I want to get the three of us on the record. Are we believers in the Packers will not draft a giant tackle, or is it just the fact that giant tackles who are really athletic get drafted really highly and before the Packers are ever on the clock? Because that is my general position, is that those guys are not available. when the Packers are picking. And I think it's really that simple.
Could you imagine being in a war room and being like, all right, we got this 6'8 guy who's incredibly well, excellent pass pro, and someone just goes, nah, too big. It's too big tall for us.
Yeah. Bigger is better, guys. I don't know who lied to you. I don't know who lied to you. But, yeah, I'm team, like, they have athletic minimums, not maximums. Also, they have had Tenuta and Telfort and Caleb Jones on their roster for the past couple seasons, and they're massive human beings. Like, they seem like they want to get bigger on the offensive line. So, the run game in general, right? Like, all their running backs are, like, 230 pounds. So, yeah, I just think – I don't think they've been avoiding guys who are like Trent Williams. I just think Trent Williams hasn't really been around for them to draft. And now there's a really athletic tackle who only played 8 games of college football and might be available at 25, or at least a short trade up from 25 that they could take a swing at. And that becomes a very different conversation. I'm not buying into any of the, you know, guys are too big type of thing.
We get so bogged down in so much of the stuff that has nothing to do with playing football. Just watch him play football, and you'll be like, okay, I get it, because he's just unreal.
Packers fans do not like the idea of Mims, though. I've learned this very quickly.
Have them watch him play. I think they'll change
When I was running the polls, we ran polls at APC on, like, who would you draft in this scenario? Like, the two guys that kept getting left on the board were Mims and Kool-Aid, and I think it's because of the injuries, but one of the guys who made it last time was Jerzon Newton, who I think that's kind of funny because he has the same injury as Kool-Aid. So, wow. I don't know if people caught on to that. And also, Futanu got voted on there too, and he's banged up. So, we'll see what happens, man. I really don't know what's going on for the Packers pick, just because of how weird the range that they're drafting in the first round is, plus the, like, who knows what's going on with the medicals and stuff like that. That's why I kind of think if they're going to make a pick in the first round, it's probably like short trade up, like just give up the Russell pick and you still got 2 twos in the third, right? Like,
yep.
I think it makes sense, but
keep the twos, please. I don't,
everyone doesn't feel the same way as me. So
I would rather not see another trade of 2 twos for 1 2. I know it's for Watson, but if you want to trade a third, that's great with me, but I like having 2 second round picks. It's exciting.
Yeah. I will say with Mims, if the Packers do get Mims, they're going to have probably the draft prospect with the best shoe game in this draft class. That was a combine thing. Somebody asked him about that. And apparently his favorite shoes, he has a pair of the Air Force One Tiffany's, those blue ones. He was very, very proud of. That guy apparently is very, very into his shoe collection. So something to... Cool. Yeah, those are pretty slick. Look those up.
I'm not a big shoe guy. I respect these. These are kind of cool.
Yeah, that's I'm a hat guy, not a shoe guy, but that's pretty slick. So
that's a cheaper game to be in. Yeah, that's I think that's the way to do it. Yeah. as someone who, when my dumbass finally first started getting Bleacher Report checks when I was like probably like 19 turning 20, buddy, you basically could have signed those checks off to Nike.
Yeah, I forget stuff. We were getting Bleach Report checks at the same age, so at the same time. What a time that was.
What a time.
All right. Let's do a little Q&A here before we wrap up with some predictions. So Scott Hettenbach says, if you had to choose which of these scenarios is the best case or most crucial for the Packers' long-term success? Number one, Packers draft a long-term starter in the first round. Good. Number two, Rome Odunze ending up somewhere other than Chicago. Or number three, the Vikings drafting a quarterback not named Jaden Daniels or Drake May.
Get the good player. I am terrified of May in Minnesota, but a lion does not concern himself with the opinions of sheep. So
I will concern myself with the opinions of sheep, dude. I do not want May. I do not want May to be a Minnesota Viking. On the Chicago pick, I think they're just going to hit it. I think they're going to hit whatever, like, they're going to pick a good player at 9. Do not concern yourself with that. Like, if it's not Rome, it's going to be Bowers, or it's going to be what's his
Byron,
name?
Byron Murphy. Yeah,
Murphy, the pass rusher. Olufushanu was Caleb Jones's left tackle in high school, right? Like, that could be a situation that pops back up. Like, Chicago's just going to, like, you're picking nine. You're going to pick a good player. Like, it's pretty hard to bomb a pick, especially one that early, especially one that doesn't involve a quarterback, right? So,
and then they only have to make that. Two more picks the rest of the draft.
Yeah, true. That is their whole draft. So
there you go. Yeah, I think I tend to go towards just worry about what you can control and just get a really good player at 25 or wherever you end up drafting. Especially if that's a really good offensive lineman, if that's a great offensive tackle, then good. You have a Hall of Fame center in Zach Tom now. So well done.
How dare you? Think of his agent. I've never seen people play agent so much in my life. We have a quarterback who's coming up on a major extension. He's played 1 year of football, and we're playing agent for Zach Tom? You kidding me?
Well, speaking of the Jordan Love deal, let's move on right to our next question. So Shark McCarthy asks, what comes first, Justice gets back into his apartment or Jordan Love gets his new contract?
So this one comes with an asterisk, right? Because I'm in a new apartment. Yeah. So what do we do with that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I would interpret this to be Justice is back into a permanent apartment.
Yeah, we won, we did it. So what the J-Lo contract can be done the week after the draft, but we probably won't get it done until June 1st, right?
The Campbell deal with the June 1st release, that cap space doesn't open up until then. So that's my assumption, is first week of June is probably about when it gets done.
Yeah.
Or, you know, minicamp somewhere in that time frame. It'll get done before everybody leaves at the end of minicamp for the summer break.
We're gonna have a good amount of cap space too, by the way. Like, I was just checking it out again today. We're like the third lowest team in cash spending this year. We were, I think, 31st last year. Kenny Clark has a massive contract. Like, he's at like $28 million or so. He's like $10 million north of anyone else in terms of his cap hit this year. Like, if he gets an extension, like, we're going to be buyers at the trade deadline? How else are we going to spend that money? I guess we could roll it over. Just seem like the Love stuff is going to hit. But yeah, I mean, we're sitting pretty. We did it, guys. We got out of last year.
Yeah. All right. Romeo Blobs asks, what would be the most mold-breaking pick Goody could make?
Nate Wiggins.
Yeah.
If he drafted a 170-pound cornerback, I would be pretty surprised.
That's a good one. Who's an old in the first round? I know they. Yeah, there you go. Oh, there's like a 27-year-old tackle from Utah in this draft. He did a LDS mission for 3 years and then started playing at Utah. So,
and then got the COVID year on top of that.
Yep. Yep.
At some point, we're going to get that kid who I coached against, McCormick, who's at Miami now. He's the one everyone makes the memes about, who's like the ninth year, or he got his ninth year petitioned at Miami. He was at Oregon before then. He ended up transferring with Mario. But yeah, he's played 9 years of college football. I coached against him, and that would have been like 2015, 2016, somewhere abouts. So.
You guys are missing the most important or easiest answer to this question, and it's take a wide receiver in the first round. It's pretty bold. And I want it so bad.
Actually, yeah, Worthy
in the first. Yeah, yes. That would be it.
Maybe not him. Okay.
but that would be the mold breaker, though. Yeah, drafting what is he? 5'10", 165? He's basically...
He's tiny. Like, he's a water bug. Yeah. He's not real.
Good stuff. All right. We'll wrap this up with one from Adam Huddle. Back to the offensive line. Jordan Morgan versus Troy Fatanu. What wins out for Green Bay? A tackle under 6'4" or a tackle with sub's 33-inch arms?
Fatanu's a better player.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not a big Morgan guy, unfortunately.
Morgan's fun. He's a zone guy. You can kind of hang your hat on that. I've heard the Baltimore Ravens in the first round are kind of interested in him and have kind of circled him. We'll see what happens on draft day. I don't know if I trust anyone at this point, unless you're talking about individual players having flags and multiple sources backing that up. But I'd go Fatano there for sure. I think he's a much better player. I think they're probably both going to play guard at the next level. Maybe Morgan doesn't. We'll see.
I think when all else is equal and you've got two guys who are, you know, have borderline measurements, take the better player, right?
Good advice. Yeah.
Sometimes
it's funny how that works out. So, easy. Yeah. But then people will argue with you and say these guys aren't any good. So,
yep. All right. Well, let's wrap this up with some predictions. Final predictions for what happens on Thursday specifically. Packers trade up from 25. What they stay put? Where are we going here?
I think they trade up.
I think short trade up for a player with some sort of injury red flag. And that is the nightmare for all Packers fans. And I don't care. They're probably going to get a good player. If it some sort of combination of like Dejean, Mims, Barton's got a clear medical history, but like those guys, maybe Fatano. I don't think they're going to be able to get in JC Latham range.
They're swinging for something. I think you are so close to having a legitimate Super Bowl window. You just got to take some shots. Like if you can hit on some upside guys, suddenly you are a like legit long-term contender.
Plus, like if you're talking about the day two is way more interesting to me than day one. Like same. I understand day one is going to set the table for everything, but day two, you're going to need a linebacker and a safety, right? And that's kind of it. And then you're adding depth at positions. Why do you need four picks to do that? Right? Yep. Like trade that extra third to move up three spots and make sure you get your guy. Like just do it. Get the player, Brian. Get the player.
Man, I hate being, you know, having all of us agree on a podcast. That's no fun, but
I'm also like I'm usually the trade down guy.
Right. Yeah.
I'm usually just like, screw it, we'll find talent later. Like sell the picks. Who cares? But like in this class, I'm like, I see the tear drop, like the drop of the tear. Not the teardrop, like I'm crying, right in front of the Packers. And I know all those guys are not going to be on that board. They're going to flunk a couple of them. So go grab one.
Yep. Yeah. I guess we'll go back to one real quick bonus Q&A then about the 41 pick, the Jets pick. What, obviously, and that's going to be dependent on what happens with that first rounder. But what do we feel like? Who do we like there at 41? Sumataya, if they don't go tackle in the first round, feels like a really good option to me. You know, maybe Cooper if they're okay with the off field stuff that you mentioned earlier with that. What's your ideal scenario then if at 41?
I mean, if Leggett's there, I'm just saying. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed watching his tape. I mean, I just am a huge fan, and if they're not sold on Watson, but I don't think that's what it is. I'm totally fine with Bullard at 41. Like, he's the one safety I hang my hat on that I can at like, least trust to not be a huge liability in some facet of the game. So if they want to just take a swing on the safety and go with him, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think Cooper, Newbin, Bullard is kind of what I expect. If they go offensive line in the first, if they don't, that kind of opens some things up, right? Like, is Guyton still there? Is Morgan still there? Kingsley, is he still there? I think Patrick Paul is going to go higher than people think. It's probably a little early for Zach Frazier and Cooper Beebe, but, like, maybe Jackson Powers Johnson is still there. I like Haynes, the kid out of UConn. Maybe not that pick, the second rounder. Paul's interesting because Paul's the guy I've been looking at him and Guyton and being like, this is the same picture.
Yeah.
All draft season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, one of these guys is a first round pick. One of them is a third round pick. And now it's like starting probably 2-3 days before the draft. People are like, yeah, Patrick Paul is going to, you know, go end of the first round maybe. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like you are treating Guyton and Paul the same. It's just, I think you guys are overrating them compared to probably Morgan and Kingsley at this point.
I've been told like 50 guys are going in the first round at this point, so let's just we're finally almost here. Let's just get the picks done.
Somebody was saying Mason Smith's agent was telling him he might go in the back half of the first round or something.
He needs to fire his agent.
I don't think that's. He hasn't made a play in like 2 years.
All right, the silly season is almost over, guys. It's coming. It's almost here. Thursday night, 8 o'clock. You know where to find us. We'll be talking about it. So, thank you guys as always. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Subscribe to the feed, 24/7, 1265.
I'm merely a guest here, but that sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you soon. And as always, go Pack Go.